Hey guys, it's Jennifer from the Shooter's Mindset, and we are live with episode 430. We have got our co-host Greg here tonight. How's it going?
Good. How about y'all?
Pretty good. Just, got jet lag from Vegas, but that's all right. And our guest of the hour is not a stranger to the show at all. If you've watched, and if you're involved in precision rifle at all, you probably know Austin Orgain. But we wanted to bring him on for his new endeavor with custom rifle barrels. So we're excited to have you, Austin. How's it going?
It's going good. Good to be on again. It's always a pleasure.
We always have a good time. Well, for anybody that has been hiding under a rock or just picked up a rifle yesterday to start shooting and maybe doesn't know you, can you kind of recap how you got into shooting? Tell us a little bit about your shooting and don't be humble because you've won some stuff. And then tell us kind of how you got into your new endeavor here.
So Austin Orgain from Oklahoma, really got shooting and precision rifle kind of to fill a void of my competitive nature. I rodeoed in college and high school. Grew up out in the country, always shot a little bit, shot a little bit of competitive shotgun and air rifle as a kid, 4-H. Really got into college, got out of college, got a job, didn't have time to rodeo like I wanted to and just needed to do something competitive. So got into precision rifle, picked it up pretty quick. It's one of those deals when you get into something and you really like it and you really enjoy it, you do all the research and you do everything you can do. And fortunately for me, growing up in Oklahoma and being in Oklahoma, there's a lot of highly competitive people. And especially when I got started, we had the OPPS and a lot of guys, and especially in Western Oklahoma, that shot and shot well. So I was able to learn from those guys and grow really fast. Won the NRL centerfire in their inaugural year in 2017, and then have won two PRS championships, so two Golden Bullets, and won the AG Cup.
Just a little bit of a hardware there you got.
Yeah, just a little bit.
We have to say, okay, so usually we have guests on the show and they put all their big trophies back behind them and all their cool things. And we were talking before the show because you have a trophy right behind you that's pretty cool.
So this is a bear rug. So actually quite a few of us, Tate Streeter, and a few other buddies, Cody Bradshaw, we went to Canada a couple of years ago, and we're bow hunting bear and was able to take this nice bear. And so now it's a rug on the back of the couch till my office gets done, and then it's gonna go in the office.
That's pretty awesome. Pretty legit, gotta say.
It's pretty cool. It turned out really well. I was really pleased with
Yes, I kind of want one now.
it.
So we were talking also before the show, like we just got back from SHOT and you were there and we somehow missed you. Like we saw the post and I was like, oh, Austin's there. Let's go by and see them. And then by the time we got by, you were gone already for the week. But how was SHOT Show for you?
It was good. It was a blur. We got in Monday night pretty late. Our flight got delayed due to some weather. So we got settled in, didn't do much Monday night. Spent all day Tuesday and Wednesday at the show. We were actually there with Oklahoma Commerce. We were all sharing a booth, me and John Kyle Foundation and Tate Streeter with Impact. Oklahoma is kind of soliciting and driving, trying to bring some more firearms business and commerce into the state, so they are out there, meeting with some of the other companies, just talking to them about the possibility of moving to Oklahoma and really growing that side of the business in Oklahoma. It really was just a blur. I mean, met with a lot of people in the very short amount of time that we had there. A lot of people came by the booth while we were there. Just really trying to grow the brand and more just seeing some old friends and people that you don't get to talk to that often. So.
Yeah, I love that about SHOT. It's always fun to see everybody. Did you get out of the booth at all and see? Did you see any cool products out there?
Yeah, we got out of the booth a little bit. Really, as far as new products, I mean, Oh, you guys know how big it is. The thing is giant. It's hard to see it all, especially if you have to spend much time in a booth. So I definitely didn't see it all. Most of the time when I walked around, I was kind of on a mission to find the people that I needed to talk to and needed to meet with. So I didn't get to look around a whole lot. And they obviously have a ton of cool stuff at SHOT. It's kind of funny because once you get very involved with one part of the industry, that's what a lot of people ask, like, oh, did you go see, the minigun on the ATV and this and that stuff? And it's like, yeah, that stuff's cool, but that's not what we're into. So MDT's got their new shot timer. That looked pretty cool. Leupold, they have their new Mark IV that they released. That actually looks like a really, really cool scope and really well-priced scope for guys getting into the sport that, don't want to spend a bunch of money right away and want to get started, or even guys that like to hunt. I mean, those scopes look like they're going to be great for a hunting gun.
Yeah, they did look really cool. We're kind of like you. Like, everybody's like, what's the coolest thing you saw at SHOT? And I'm like, I don't know. I had appointments all day. Like, we were running between appointments, and then, oh, you want to go walk around a little bit? And then you're such a zombie. It was a little difficult to see too much, but.
Yeah, for whatever reason, one of the popular booths that we had near us, we were kind of down in the basement, and seemed like one of the busier booths that we were at was a flashlight booth. And I kind of looked at that and I was like, well, it's a flashlight, so I'm not sure. I didn't pay enough attention to it to know what the big deal was, but a lot of people were always stopped at that booth.
That is funny.
I pretty much what Jen said. Like, I'm seeing so much more stuff that's showing up on my news feed now while I'm like laying around being lazy. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Oh, that was right next door to this one booth that I was in for half an hour because that had something that pertained to me. But there was some pretty cool stuff that I saw. I like the did you see the Leupold rangefinder that will drop pins in your cell phone?
Did not see that. No.
Literally, like if you like,
Cool.
let's say you shot that bear and it was like on another ridge, and you
Yeah.
had to go down and lose sight and go back up, you could shoot it, range it, it'll drop a pin like literally in the Google Maps app, and
Okay.
you just follow your phone to the little red pin.
That'll be handy. Your Sir Swarovski already has that too. I don't remember what they call it. It was like some kind of tracking deal, but you had to do it on the Swaro app, and their maps were, kind of wonky. So if it drops into Google Maps, that'd be even handier. That's really handy, actually. Me and a buddy who shoots, you guys have probably met, Kyle McCormick, we went elk hunting in Wyoming, not this past year, but the year before. And we might not have found his bull without that. Tracking assist is what they call that. And so it just gives you the pin where it ranged. And so I was able to range his bull from where we were. And when we got to the other side, we got in a lot of fallen timber and stuff like that. And actually had to use that app with that tracking assist to find it. And it took us right to it. It was really handy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you see the Swervos that have the they have bird and mammal identification built into them?
Nope, I didn't see that.
They also have where if you're standing next to somebody and you range a target, like if you were to shoot in a team match and then it's hidden targets, you found a target and you lased it, then hand it to your partner, then it would have arrows inside there, like directing on which way to go so they could find the exact target you were looking at.
No kidding. No, I didn't see any of that stuff. I guess I should
I thought that was
have.
cool.
I knew they were there, but I honestly didn't even see the Swaro booth. I'm sure I walked by it at some point.
It looked like a campfire.
One thing I was disappointed that I missed is that, and I actually heard about it while I was at SHOT and was trying to make a point to go see it, and then just kept getting caught by people and then ran out of time for appointments that I had. But I was wanting to go see the new Collis, the new scope.
Yeah, and we were in there and we glanced at it and then had to get to our next appointment. The binos kind of distract us for a little while.
Yeah, I would me too.
So anyway, let's not waste too much more time with getting to the super exciting news and the whole reason why you're here. We were all disappointed when Hawk Hill announced they're no longer producing barrels. That's what that is back there and what I've shot my whole time shooting. However, couple weeks ago, right before SHOT, we all got some really exciting news, and that's that you had purchased the company. So, how did that all come about?
That's kind of a long story. So I was kicking around the idea of trying to get into barrel making for a couple of years. I wanted to do something more involved in industry, which already have Ace Breaks. And that's, going well, but I wanted to be able to expand and build on just basically a reputation. And just kind of through the grapevine, it wasn't really public knowledge, but fortunately, I heard through a friend that Hawkeel may be for sale. So I contacted Sean, actually flew up to Virginia and met with him, saw the equipment run, and we worked out a deal, and it really has been pretty slow process, just every step of the way, getting a building built. So I actually built a building back here in my hometown in Hammond, Oklahoma. And over the last year was able to get the equipment and move it to Oklahoma, get it set up. Took us forever to get power, took forever to get really anything done. It just seemed like it just seemed like there was a challenge every step of the way. But you just got to be resilient, you got to keep pressing on. So that's what I did. We just kept chugging along, and finally up and running. Sean actually came out. Spent a couple of weeks with us. I had some guys hired already in the shop. So he spent about 2 weeks training the guys and me on the ins and outs and everything in barrel making. So it was really, really great to be able to take all of Sean's knowledge, all of his years of experience, and just roll that right in and just kind of pick up right where he left off and start producing quality barrels, with his guidance. And I'm sure he's tired of his phone ringing for me calling. And also the guy I've got, kind of managing the shop during the day, he calls, whenever he needs anything that, that I can't address or that he can't figure out either, that we can just call Sean and we can all work through it. So it's been really good.
That's quite an impressive move to get all of that equipment moved. Like, what kind of truck do you even rent for that?
Okay, so the plan was is to get a rigging company up there and have them load it all out. But within the timeline that I needed it done, we couldn't get a rigging company. So I don't know what was going on in Verona, Virginia, the time that I needed to get stuff loaded out. But we were several weeks out from doing it. So I literally got with a guy, hired a semi. I went as far as to taking the trailer measurements of the semi, putting it in software, taking the measurements of all the machines and placing them within that on to make sure that everything would fit on a trailer. Me and a buddy, I've got a really good buddy here at Hammond. We've been friends for a long time, hunted a lot together, Daniel Hughes. I said, "Hey, I need some help. Can you leave tomorrow to go to Virginia?" It wasn't quite that fast, but it was pretty close to that. He says, "Yeah, let me call my boss." So he got off. We hopped in my pickup. We drove 18 hours to Verona, Virginia, rented a forklift, and I took everything out of his shop and loaded it on one flatbed trailer, and stacked it in like cordwood. And then the truck started driving back, and we knew we had to beat the truck back here. So we turned around and hauled Bud 18 hours home and had a forklift waiting here to unload it. So that was an adventure.
Wow.
I
Yeah.
know. I was about to say that had to have been quite a move. That's why I was like, I have to hear how this went.
We started taking stuff out of Sean's shop at I think 8 o'clock in the morning, and we put the last piece of equipment on at about 4:30 in the afternoon, and then turned around and left and started driving home.
That's
Yeah,
crazy. Boy.
it's a story for sure. Sean's shop was a decent sized shop, but his doors weren't very big. So a lot of the stuff we had to sit on skates and actually skate it out on machine skates out of the door to where I could pick it with the forklift and get it set on the trailer. So it was interesting. It was an adventure, but just like I said, it's like everything else. You just gotta have a little grit in your gut and do it.
And just do it, yeah.
Yeah.
Machine skates are always fun. Have you seen the ones that are hydraulically powered where it'll just kind of like drive, creep forward?
Yeah, unfortunately, the rental place that I had to rent these from didn't have that.
I
And
could imagine.
fortunately, we did find some. That it took quite a bit of doing actually finding the rental equipment and then finding a place that had machine skates that I could rent, because At that time, I couldn't get them anywhere. I needed time to get to make the load out. So, luckily, there was
Sweet.
a place there that had some that we could rent, and we got it done.
That's pretty awesome. How did you come up with the name?
So, I basically had a spreadsheet, and every time I would think of a decent name for a possible barrel company, I would type it out and then just go through there. And then at the end of the day, I was like, man, these are all, pretty good and I'm sure they would work. But like, what is eventually I want to go to the point where search engine optimization is a factor, right? I was like, well, what would I search if I was trying to find a custom rifle barrel? I was like, custom rifle
Custom
brand,
rifle
right?
barrel.
So I did a quick Google search and nobody had the name and did a domain search and the domain was available. So there it is. Bought it.
I mean, look at you being logical and all.
Yeah. I mean, it's a year in the making. I had a lot of time to think about stuff while I was trying to wait on everybody else to get stuff done.
I mean, it makes great sense. Like about a year ago, Damien and I went back and got our MBAs, and in one of the marketing sections, they were talking about, Google search engines and like what words
Yeah.
ping things. So that's actually pretty genius to put in exactly what most people would Google if they were looking for a custom rifle barrel.
Yeah, so that's how it was. And then, with Ace, and kind of the logo, I thought, custom rifle barrel CRB. And honestly, I used it kind of sounded generic at first, but then I looked at a couple of the big names that we have in our industry, and you have MDT, which is Modular Driven Technologies. And I mean, it's great, but it doesn't get much more generic than that. And they're one of the biggest companies that we have in our industry. And they just you just know them as MDT. So it's like, why couldn't I just be known as CRB and just custom rifle barrels? Kind of came up with a logo that was kind of co-branded with Ace, just kind of has the bullet going through there and was recognizable. So it just kind of all made sense.
So when did you actually spin your first barrel? What's the day? What's going to be your birthday of your first barrel you?
First barrel that was actually rifled and came out. That would have been December 6th.
Awesome.
So Sean showed up on the 5th. Let me think about that. Yeah, December 6th we had the first two barrels out. I got them done, sent them to Wade, and got them chambered. So I have two Dasher barrels with barrel number one and barrel number two.
That's awesome.
Yep. And then actually Austin Bushman got barrel number three. And he, I'm assuming, probably has the most rounds of anybody on it out. I think he has a couple hundred rounds down it already. He took it right home that next day and chambered it and started shooting it. So he looked like a kid with a piece of candy, and he was told he had to wait to get home to eat it. And he was like, "Okay, I got to get going." Drove straight home and chambered it. Sent me a picture of it that I think that next day.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, can you kind of go through the process of what is making a rifle barrel? We don't need like, your super secret industry trade secrets, but kind of the 10,000 foot view. What comes in? What do you do? What goes out?
Yeah, so it comes in just as bar stock. It's 416R stainless steel. You buy it in bundles. And so you get it in. We're handling, for the most part, we're handling 12 foot bars. We take them, we cut them to length. Really, what I'm kind of trying to do is stay mostly with a standard length, pretty standard on the calibers and contours to keep it fairly easy. So we cut a barrel basically 29 inch length, a touch longer, 29 and an eighth. And then we face off both sides to make sure both ends are square. From there, it goes to the gun drill. So we drill it and then it gets taken to the contour. So then we contour it, turn it on centers and contour it. Then we hit it with a quick sand just basically to kind of clean up any of the tooling marks from the lathe. Then you ream it and you rifle it. Well, actually, you ream it, you hand lap it, then you rifle it, and then you hand lap it again. And then we got a finished barrel.
Awesome. And then for, I know we all know what we're talking about here. A finished barrel is not ready to go onto a rifle.
Correct.
So
Yeah.
then from there, you'd send it to a gunsmith. It would thread it for your rifle, chamber it for whatever round, finish your muzzle, whether it's threaded or crowned or whatever you may want.
Correct.
And then you have a custom rifle barrel.
Right. Custom rifle barrel.
I want to hit a couple of these lives real quick. Somebody is asking, do you have a website up
That's a long story.
yet?
That has been the pain in my butt for the last several months. No, not yet. We are working on a website. We will have a website up. We will sell retail on the website. Along with some other things, we'll probably have some muzzle brakes on there. We're gonna put some merchandise on there. I want to pull my hair out. Like, I think by this point, I think I could have figured out how to completely code and make an entire website myself since I've been trying to get people to get this done. But it's been like everything else in trying to get this business started. It's just like, it's got to be a thorn in your side before it ever comes to fruition and be worth anything. So maybe I got a guy working on it now. I talked to him today. He's supposed to have me something pretty concrete by tonight, I hope. That's not saying that the website's going to be ready to launch. I was really hoping that the website was ready to launch by the time I made the announcement. Actually, I thought it was, but the platform that I had went with ended up being not what I was hoping it to be. And there were some deal breaker things on there that just weren't going to work as a website, especially selling this type of retail. So I had to completely shut that down, change it, and start all over.
Do you know what the website will be called?
Yeah, www.customriflebarrels.com.
Awesome. So easy to find.
So you mentioned that you're going to be selling shirts, which is good news for Chris Beck because he said, I need a t-shirt if you're selling them since your logo is my initials.
Yeah, we'll get some t-shirts up. Actually, my wife and I talked about that today. I just let her be in charge of that stuff because I got plenty on my plate. She sent me some different colors and some different options. So we'll have some t-shirts and probably get some hats going. So,
Sweet. Rick asked, how many barrels can you produce per day?
that's a loaded question. So, I got to give credit to my guys in the shop because there's some go-getters and some really hard workers. In an 8-hour day, we make about 8 barrels. That's just kind of our limitations on the machines. And then with overtime, we could do more. They've been doing 10 to 12 barrels a day for the last about week and a half. And that was really nice to have those guys in the shop because they were able to keep running, take care of business, and not break anything while I was gone to shop. So it's always nice when you can leave your guys running like that and just come back to a nice flowing shop and not a lot of problems.
That's always good when you could be a business owner and a manager and not a babysitter.
I'm really truly blessed with the guys that I got in my shop right now. They couldn't have worked out any better. You couldn't find better employees than what I got in there right now. So those guys are gonna be the ones that help make this deal happen because I couldn't do it without them right now.
That is awesome that this early on in the business, you're learning that your employees, that you did a good job of hiring good people. That's great news for your future. You might still have hair in a couple of years. We'll see.
We'll see.
Steve wants to know if you're doing five or four groove or both.
Four groove. Yeah, we're doing all four groove.
Cool. So we're about at the midpoint of the show. Remember, if you're watching us live on Facebook, ask any questions you might have in the comment section of the video. We'll ask it live on air. Other ways to catch us, you can always check back on the Shooter's Mindset Facebook page. The videos stay up there forever. And we usually upload to all the podcast apps the night after the show. Then finally, everything eventually ends up on the Shooter's Mindset YouTube page. So that's a great place to look up past episodes.
So if somebody were to be new to this, or they're looking to get barrels and they're like, well, why should I buy from Austin? Why should I buy from CRB? What's the difference? What sets your rifle barrels apart from just going and buying any other one?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of great barrel companies out that we have right now that do a lot for the sport that are going to shoot well. One thing that I can say about custom rifle barrels is every barrel that goes out the door is hand inspected by me. So it's measured both for groove diameter and bore diameter, and then is bore scoped throughout on both, both sides. So everything that goes out, I can guarantee that is going to be the dimensions that it needs to be, and it's going to be lapped the way it needs to be lapped. I'm not sure. I can't speak for other barrel companies, but as far as what goes out the door for me, that was my key thing of buying this company. I knew that we'd be able to get a pretty good reach within our industry. But no matter what, you have to have quality product coming out. And so that's what I emphasize to the guys is, quality, quality, quality. And that's why everything that is made gets put into basically bins in a pile and organized. And then I can come in and I can do all my final checks and QC everything before it's ready to ship out.
So if, and Matt Caruso actually had this question, and I kind of was thinking the same thing. Are your barrels going to be the same as Hawk Hill barrels, or are you doing things a little differently? Or are you doing them pretty much just like Sean was doing them? Is there
So,
a
yeah,
difference?
so as far as the principal manufacturing of them, they're basically the same. It's the same tooling. We are looking at a few process changes and some ways to basically make the process better to improve cycle times on multiple machines, looking at new inserts for turning. Really, at the end of the day, I mean, it is basically the same as what Hawk Hill was producing. It's the same quality that Hawk Hill was cranking out. I mean, we're taking the knowledge and experience that Sean had and using that. We're just trying to improve on some of the processes.
That's awesome. And John Smith just asked a question about your background and what makes you qualified, other than the fact that Sean Hand taught you.
Yeah, so I'm an engineer by trade. I would say very mechanically inclined. So really the entire process of it made sense to me anyway. If you break it down, it's really not a hard concept. It's just getting your tooling right. So with Sean's knowledge and teaching of getting the tooling right for cutting your rifles, that's just the way it is. And then like I say, just staying on top of quality control. I'm not going to say we haven't had some barrels come out that weren't, I'm not going to say bad barrels, but they weren't within the tolerance that I want to hold for our quality. And so they just get set aside and, figure out what to do with them later. We'll either ream them out and make a larger bore diameter, turn into a 30 cal, or it goes in a scrap bin. But that's the key, is to try to not let anything bad slip out the door. And inevitably it probably will, and we'll stand behind it and we'll replace whatever we need to replace if it's on our end.
That's a good philosophy to have. Quality first, worry about the other things later, and standing behind your product is
Yeah.
always a good thing.
And I think that's the key. There's always in any kind of a process, especially a manufacturing process, there's going to be some problems. But I just think it's, I'm a consumer of the same stuff, right? I don't know. I'm not going to say I've shot out more barrels than anybody, but I've shot out a lot of barrels, and know what a good barrel looks like and what doesn't. And so my theory is just if there is a problem, if you take care of the customer and do it right by them, then that's the best you can do.
Yep, I agree. So what is the expected lead time on your barrels right now?
It depends on what you want. So like I said, we're kind of running a standardized barrel right now. If you want a 6 millimeter, a 6.5, or a 25 cal, and a standard twist rate, which our 6 millimeters are 7.5 twist, our 25 cals are 7.5 twist, and our 6.5s are 8 twist, and a heavy contour like a CRB comp, which is inch 250 for 6 inches and tapers down to 1.1 inch, which just so happens to kind of tie in with the body of an ace break. Then the lead time's fairly short. We can get you one pretty quick. We're trying to keep some in stock especially for when a website launches, you know, to be able to keep some retail sales on a website. If you're wanting something lighter or like a 30 cal or 7 millimeter, probably going to be a little longer lead time, just because I really don't have the capacity to cover much more than the 6 millimeters, 25s, and 6.5s that we've got going out the door right now. So.
That makes sense. I saw that comp contour. That's what our friend Tommy Goodson picked up, and that's a good looking barrel.
Well, so my thought behind that is I actually the last couple of 25 cal barrels I have are Hawk Hills in a 25 by 47, and they're a straight inch 250, which I actually like the weight and the weight of the barrel, but I don't like the way a straight taper looks. I just think it kind of looks goofy and nothing really fits on the muzzle very well of it. So I wanted to do something that kept a barrel pretty heavy, but still looked good, right? It still had a little bit of a taper to it, and it still tied in nice with any of the muzzle devices you want to run. So we just kind of came up with this pretty simple contour, but it puts a lot of weight in your barrel, and it's kind of heavy and balances really well. And it kind of meets the guys that want to run like a competition contour, and then the other guys that want to run straight tapers. It kind of falls right in the middle. And, makes a nice balance between the two.
Yeah, I like it a lot. That might be on my list. John also asked if you offer fluting and at what point do you stress relieve?
We aren't doing any fluting right now. That is one service that we're looking at adding, getting some machinery and doing some fluting. We don't stress relieve when the barrels are. Basically, every step of the process, we're doing our best to never induce any stress into that barrel. So when we're contouring it, we're taking small cuts. And obviously, when you rifle it, you're only cutting about a tenth of a thousandth at a time. So you're not taking any big cuts anywhere to induce any kind of stress into the material like you would on a button rifle or a hammer forged rifle. The cut rifling doesn't really induce the stress that warrants any kind of stress relief.
Yep, that makes perfect sense. You know, if you were setting everything, turning everything up to 11 and just dogging it. But
It's a different story. We take our time, you know. Take our time with we basically just let the drill run where the drill wants to run to keep the bore as straight as possible. And then every other step of the way, we're just never taking a big cut on anything to put any stress in the barrel.
Smart, smart. So who all is carrying your barrels? And you've already said that once the website's up, we can do direct orders, but what resellers, gunsmiths, et cetera, that you know off the top of your head have in stock?
So far, we've got Studeville, Wade's Studeville, Studeville Precision, and Impact. You can actually buy. I don't know what he has in stock now. I've shipped him quite a few, but you can buy them straight off the Impact website. From Tate, you can buy the blanks. Obviously, Wade is chambering the barrel, so if you need pre-fits, you can get them through him, which will actually inadvertently be on the Impact website once he gets them done. TS Customs is carrying them. Jake Schur in Kansas. I know he's chambered several already and sent several out the door. Blue Mountain Precision in Utah has some. Priest Precision has got some on order. You'd put me on the spot. I know I'm going to leave people out.
Does L3 rifles have more than just the one Tommy got?
Yes, so L3 rifles. He got a good shipment in here just very recently, and obviously, and he just received it. Not too long ago, so he got that one turned around pretty quick.
He's very quick.
And he's good. He's been really good to deal with too. That's most of the builders. I got a shipment about ready to go out to Bug Holes as far as a retailer. We just got an order in from Bullet Central, so they'll be carrying product as well.
Very cool. And by the way, I meant to say this earlier. I love your boxes you ship them out in.
Yeah, so that's kind of a funny story. The guy that's running my rifler, he also has a local woodworking shop. He makes cornhole boards and Wahoo boards, and so he has a CNC woodworking mills. And we were talking about shipping and how we were going to do it, and I was like, well, you know, probably do find somebody to build some boxes. And he's like, hey, I got the machines. Let's just build the boxes. We'll get the material and do it. And then He's like, hey, while we're programming this, we might as well make them cool. Let's do something with them and put your logo on them. And I was like, yeah, sounds great, man. So we did it, put the logo on it. And he said, nah, there's too much blank space in here. We got to do something on the sides. He's like, we need a motto or something like that. And so we thought about it a little bit. And I said, well, what about Champion Made? And he goes, that sounds great. And we did it. And the boxes are really cool and they work really well for shipping. I mean, that mill that he has, we can kind of cut them out in the puzzle piece figure like that and put a lot of strength in the box to ship them out. So if you order 12 or more barrels, you can get yourself a box.
Oh, I just need to order 12 of them.
I know. Wait, if we get a bunch of people together, then we can all fight over the box.
Yeah, there you go. Just give me one shipping address and I'll ship them all there.
There we go. Group
Get a
buy just so
box.
I can get a box.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I've had people ask if they can just buy boxes.
I thought about that. I was like, man, that I don't know what I would do with that box, but that's a nice box. Like, I feel like I need one.
It is. He had a great idea, and it's good for marketing, and it is just a nice shipping box to protect the barrels too. We can sleeve all the barrels, put them in there, fill any of the voids with packing paper, and screw a lid down good, and put some metal straps on it just to be safe. Ship them out. Yeah, I know L3. He sent me a picture. He's like, it's a good thing you put the strapping on it because somehow there's always a way. They were able to almost knock the end out of one of the boxes, but the strap held it together. So.
That's good. Yeah, they can do all kinds of things shipping that I never thought they could do. I think if I have grandkids after, you have kids and on Christmas you can't open their packages, I'm just going to get like UPS men and FedEx men to come in because they can like bust anything open, I swear.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I know you talked about the calibers that you are doing most of the time that are the easiest for you to, get out the door. But what are all of the options that you have at the moment between different calibers and different contours, not just comp?
So basically at the moment that's what we're doing. We're probably gonna do a run of 7 millimeters. On contours, I decided to keep it pretty simple because the more options you give someone, the more they don't know what they want, right? So I kind of wanted to consolidate some of the stuff. So like the CRB comp would kind of cover any of the heavy comps and the straight tapers, which I am still going to do some straights. There's still guys that want to run straights, and those are fairly simple for us to go ahead and run the straight tapers. Doing quite a few M24s for kind of that mid-level, so that'd cover kind of your medium Palma, your M24, your in between heavy varmint type contour. And then I got a contour that is kind of a modification of like a number 3 or a 3B, that I'm going to call a CRB Hunter. And it will, I'll have two variations of that, one with an inch 200 shank and one with an inch 250 shank. And they'll finish at about 740 at 27 inches to be cut down to 26 inches. And the reason for that is, that way you could still have a pretty light barrel, but you can still thread it in 5/8-24 for any of your muzzle devices. If you want to use a breaker or suppressor, wanted to leave enough there to shoulder after you thread it 5/8-24. And so it'll step down a little bit quicker than a 3B. So it'll be a very similar weight to 3B with just a little bit larger diameter at the muzzle.
I think when you get your website up and you have the different contours, you should do like, heavy Palma, perfect for the blah, blah, blah. I'll never forget. Poor Sean probably was sick of my emails. I'm like, I don't know which contour I need. I'm like, I just want it to shoot good, And so he's like, well, you can do this or that or.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, the more material you take off of it, the more chances you are to induce any kind of stress or any kind of a relief in your bore size. So typically your heavier contours are going to be a little bit better, shoot better. They're going to be stiffer. Then some of your lighter stuff, but obviously you got to have some lighter stuff too for hunting, and it's the same thing for those. They take a lot longer on the lathe, but we don't take big cuts on them, so we're trying to not ever induce any of that stress into those barrels, and so we just take our time with them. But yeah, I do. I have a contour list. I have kind of a, just a few of them that I'm a few of the basic ones that I'm offering to kind of try to bridge the gap between a lot of other stuff. Because at the end of the day, it's the same deal. I'm kind of limited on production, and it doesn't make sense to expand and do a lot of SKUs when I'm already, moving everything that I can make in what I have now. So, it's crazy, man. You get all kinds of requests for, weird twist rates and weird contours, and guys want what they want, and they can order whatever they want. But as far as for us, that's going to extend a lot of lead time on those because we're basically just kind of doing these standard things and moving about everything we can make on the standard stuff. So.
And that kind of ties into a question one of our viewers asked about, yes, a 6 millimeter 1250 or 6 millimeter straight is probably going to be pretty quick, but let's say that there's something that he wants that's as unique as you make. Are we talking like weeks, months, or like a year to get a something wild and crazy from you?
To do that would be at a point where I have to grow and add machinery. So we're probably talking about, months on a very uncommon thing. If it's something as simple as just, hey, I really need, and what I've told a few people too is if you'll put a big enough order in for it, I'll go ahead and run it because it's just easier to do it in larger batches that way. So like say you just were stuck on it and you really needed a rim varmint. If you want to order 15 or 20 of them, I'll go ahead and make a run of them. If not, I'll try to talk you into, like the CRB Hunter or something like that.
Makes sense. Let's see. Oh, all right. Time for the lightning round. Talking about your rifle, what you shoot, what you use. So, what brand barrel do you shoot on your competition rifle?
Well, it turns out I shoot a custom rifle barrel.
And what caliber?
Mostly six stasher, also 25 by 47.
Oh, cool. What action?
Impact.
Stock.
Foundation.
Scope.
Tangent Theta.
Mount.
Hawkins.
Bipod.
Just run a Harris.
And bottom metal.
Hawkins.
Are you from Oklahoma?
Yeah, maybe so.
Never would have guessed.
Hey, we're about to get there. All we really need now are triggers and scopes, and I guess some
That's
scope.
true.
I tried to talk Andy into moving to Oklahoma, so maybe he will, and then we can have bottom metal and mounts too.
I feel like everybody from Oklahoma uses the bottom metals. So, like, he's kind of like a halfway, like, honorary Oklahoman, maybe.
There you go. Honorary Oklahoma.
So, are you going to be shooting as much this year with starting your new business?
Yeah, I mean, I we try to. It seems like every year I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go just a little bit less, but I always end up going just as much as I always do. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really hoping to be to a point where it's not gonna be that big of a deal to be gone for a day or two, especially because I'm very locally located and I have a lot of matches really close. I mean, I actually didn't look at the schedule this year, but I think last year, I think I counted like 8 or 10 matches within 5 or 6 hours from home. So, really, if I can take off on a Friday morning, I'm only re missing about one day in the shop. And like I say, I've got some great guys in the shop that have proved now that they can manage without me. So, I don't think it's going to be too big of a deal to go ahead and take off and shoot. Plus, you got to rep your own brand, right? You got to be there and present.
Heck yeah.
That is
That
true.
that's the biggest thing that I could say for any company in our sport is you got to be present. There's got to be a face to it.
Yeah,
For
absolutely.
any component that you need to shoot precision rifle, there is somebody that builds that that's at a match. And whether your product's better or worse, a lot of the people are going to shoot with, oh, well, the guy that was on my squad last weekend makes products. Triggers, scopes, whatever it may be, or works for a company. He
Right.
was really nice. I'm going to buy that.
Yep.
So you have A couple golden bullets, an AG cup, lots of trophies. So, what are your shooting goals for this year now?
Same as they are every year, Pinky. Trying to take over the world. That's always the goal, is just to go out and shoot the best that I can and try to win. I mean, you know what
When you
I'm.
shot AG Cup, were you shooting your own barrel?
Not yet at that point, because we hadn't got them in production yet. It was a Hawk Hill barrel, though. So it was a barrel made on the machines that I have. That says
There you
anything.
go.
Yep, and the finale as well. I shot a 25 by 47 at the finale and at AG Cup, and it was with a Hawk Hill barrel.
Nice. What are your goals for CRB by the end of the year?
That's a tough one. I obviously want to try to grow, but as with any business, you have to grow at a pace that you can grow and you can manage. One thing I do not want to do is I do not want to grow too fast in a way that any kind of quality becomes an issue. So my goal is to grow in a way that I can keep the quality in check and keep good product coming out. Looking at adding a few machines, looking at adding a couple of other options, things you can do with the barrels, a few more products made in-house. So really the goal for the end of the year is just to continue to figure the business out, right? And keep good barrels coming out. And go from there. I don't know that I really have any type of a production goal or a set amount that we have to make or anything like that. I just think that my goal is to get the name out there, which I feel like that's happening at a pretty rapid pace, and just make good quality product for the first year that we're there and we're still trying to figure everything out. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of nuances and a lot of things to work through. A lot of tooling and machine stuff to figure out. So just kind of staying on top of that, and I can't say it enough. Keep quality product coming out.
Sounds like good goals to me.
I feel like someone needs to start like Oklahoma Precision or something, where they take all the Oklahoma parts and make an Oklahoma gun.
There you go. Call it the Okie Special.
There you go.
Yep.
Maybe I need to move to Oklahoma,
There you go.
I don't know how
There's
to,
your business.
except I don't know how to chamber a gun, but you know.
Yes.
Oh, are there any more lives, Greg?
We are good on the live side.
All right. And just to recap, if anybody joined partway through and they're wondering about, like, I'm trying to look up this website and it's not there, the website is coming very soon.
I hope.
Can be more complicated than you think.
I'm telling you, the first company that I basically hired to do this is like, we'll get you going in 3 days, and that was 2 weeks before Christmas.
Wow. Yeah. They fell down on that job. I hope he fired them.
Well, and then the bad part is once they did get it up and going, it wasn't in a way that was going to work for what we're doing, so.
Yep. Lots of complicated things there, but
Yeah, for sure. A lot to figure out.
all right. Well, I think we can wind it down to shout outs. We will start with Greg.
Oh, I was hoping Corey would go first, but I realize Corey's not here. I haven't thought yet. Let's talk about Hunter's HD Gold up here. They should be on the show in a couple of weeks. Totally helps blind people see stuff when trying to shoot. And GSL suppressors, my favorite little pew quieters.
Austin, what you got for shout outs?
I can start with shameless plugs, I guess. I've got custom rifle barrels, Ace Precision making muzzle brakes. If you need a muzzle brake, we got quite a few in stock, and fixing to have some of the stuff that's not in stock back in stock, so be looking for that. We've got Impact Actions, Foundation Stocks, the Okies. We've got Hawkins Precision, Andy, he's a good friend, and Nick. Those guys have helped me out a lot in a lot of the machining processes and stuff that I've got going on now. And they've been, a very invaluable resource. Plus, they make good product as well. WeBad support bags, fortune cookies, Bix and Andy triggers. I guess we didn't talk about that, or we didn't go over what trigger running their new TaxSport Pro X. Can't forget about Hornady. I know all those guys are out of this. They had to leave from SHOT and go out to Nashville to SCI convention. So I know they're loving show season this year.
Ooh.
Alfie Munitions, best brass out there right now. And newly added, we've got Hodgdon Powders.
Awesome.
Very nice.
Always good to get the powders.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that couldn't have come at a better time whenever it's a kind of a tough market.
It's been a tough market for a hot minute. I'm ready for it to reverse. Get back to be a little easier to get.
Yeah,
So,
but you got to burn powder to need barrels, and need people to need barrels now.
this is true. This is true. Everybody, yeah, burn up. That's the thing with barrels is they burn out. You got to go buy more. It's a good
Right.
thing. And for my shout outs, I just want to shout you out for what you've done for the sport and for coming and spending this evening with us. I know you're busy just getting back from shot and skiing and then trying to get back into the business. I know you got to be super, super busy. So we want to thank you for everything that you do. You've always been just fun at matches to be around. And I know that'll continue. And everybody will want to buy your barrels just because you're a good guy, which always helps when it comes to the gun business.
Yeah, this is really has been a very humbling experience. I kind of kicked around the idea about not making the post that I bought it until the website was up and running, but it was kind of coming on shot, and we had some product out, and some people were buying the product and kind of wanting to know what we were going to do for some marketing. So went ahead and made the post and did it, and I was very surprised at the feedback that we got in the shares and the comments. It really was a very humbling experience.
Well, I mean, I think people want somebody that's making barrels that shoots and knows the needs, and you understand all of that, and you're gonna make good barrels because you want to shoot good barrels. So,
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I know everybody's gonna be like, "Oh, you're handpicking all the better barrels for yourself," but other than the first two barrels on there, it's really probably gonna be the stuff that I sort off that up that would be like a blim, if you want. If you will, probably be what I shoot. So I'm going to send all the good stuff out the door to the customers.
That's a good way to be.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on, and I know you've been away from family, so we appreciate you coming and spending the time. And you're always welcome. If y'all got something new coming out, let us know by all means. And when your website is up, if you'll let us know, we'll do an announcement on our page to let all of our viewers know that the website is up and live, and they can hurry and order their 12 barrels in an awesome box.
So they could get the box. Yep.
That's right. You should advertise that. If you order 12 barrels, you get a free box.
There you go. Yeah, that'd work.
That's right. All
Yeah.
right.
Th
Well,
thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. You guys do a lot for the sport. You guys do a lot of coverage, and just keep doing what you do.
thank
Well,
you. We
thank
enjoy
you.
it. It's good to do. And with that, we will see everybody next time.